Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of SCI TV. Today, we are joined by Melanie Fox. Melanie has such an incredible story. She is currently a speech coach, a speaker, and accent reduction coach, and just helps people with their presentation and interviewing training. And we felt like it would be so applicable to see how such an interesting career path contributes to so many different aspects of sports negotiations and organizational psychology. So thank you so much, Melanie, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Anna. This is so much fun.
Yeah, well, how about we start off with your story, with your background, how you got to where you are today, and just want to get to know you a little bit better.
Perfect. So I'm a speech coach, and how I got here actually was all inspired by my childhood friend, Ada. So I was her first American friend. She came from China, and in kindergarten, she learned English. So by first grade, she spoke perfect English. When I went home to meet her family were typical adults that don't learn a new language on the fly in a year. So I used to sit with her mom, Helen, and I used to show her how my mouth was moving. I used to write my six-year-old phonetics of how to pronounce words. And I just thought it was so much fun to sit with someone who wasn't a native speaker and make them more comfortable. And as a present for helping, they would give me little post-its with Cantonese phrases on it. And so I used to go home and try to memorize these post-its. I bought some books and audio tapes at the time. It was the 80s. My mom took me to buy some Cantonese books with tapes, cassette tapes. And I just tried to master as much as I could of Cantonese. And I just thought, wow, teaching language and learning language are two of the most fun things I've ever done. And so I just continued to do this. And in college, I did a one-year study abroad or a two-semester study abroad in Spain. And while I was there, I met some of the nicest, coolest people. I talked to strangers all day practicing my Spanish. And I did what they call intercambio and would do an exchange of time in English with time in Spanish. And so I'd kind of co-tutor. And while I was co-tutoring, I met someone by talking to a stranger in a candy shop who said, I need your help. I need to pass my English test. And I've been a senior for 6 years. This is my seventh year now trying to take this test. So it was the regular senior year and six more. So she said, I'm just going to leave without my English degree if I fail again. I'm just so embarrassed. So I sat in a coffee shop maybe three times with her, maybe for 2 hours each, if that. And I took a guess at what was keeping her from passing. And I decided, based on my limited knowledge, and there were no review books, there were no sample tests, based on my knowledge of what she was saying and where she was faltering, I thought, okay, it's all got to do with speech. It's her confidence in speaking and pronouncing English, and it's her ability to hear new words and associate them with letters and spell them. And so we worked on mostly this. And I got a letter a few months later that she passed her test. And I was so psyched that in the short period of time, I could turn around her experience that I decided that this was my career. So I got my master's in linguistics and I taught adult ESL to people from scratch. And then I realized that my coaching or my teaching of the beginners was getting them up to a speaking level that was higher than the advanced class. So I said, okay, it's all about teaching spoken language. For me, it's my passion, it's my niche. And so I built a whole company and career on this love of teaching English language and meeting people from around the world that were trying to remove the barriers to accessing the world of business that they could get through English.
That's fascinating. I think when we work with, you know, we work with people from all over the world, and I feel like sports is such a global just ecosystem with people speaking different languages, different dialects, different, you know, norms, whatever it could be. And I think inevitably, if you're not super fluent in English, or you know, you struggle to communicate with when you go to like a sort of tournament or you're a delegate somewhere, what do you recommend for people that are lacking that confidence of delivering a message when it comes to, you know, a rule or a certain procedure that needs to be communicated to the judge or fellow athlete or whatever it might be, just because they don't feel confident doing that in English versus their own native language. Because I feel like it's a barrier for so many people, including myself, when I speak other foreign languages.
So one thing I would start with is slow down. If you're communicating and you feel like you may struggle or you may have a challenge with the person understanding you on the first try, slow is good. It's not something that people will say, oh, you speak slowly, I don't think you're as intelligent. Slow speaking is more articulate speaking. You have more time to make the sounds in your mouth. You have more time to move your lips, more time to stick your tongue out for the th sound. So speaking slowly is one good thing, and speaking loudly enough is another. Sometimes when people feel like they're making mistakes, they speak in a very quiet voice,
yeah,
because they almost are afraid to make the mistake. So you want to make sure that you are sort of the loud and proud, and so you can speak slowly, articulate more carefully, and also make sure that you exaggerate the articulation in your mouth. If you feel like, all right, well, I do that, I'm speaking slowly, I'm speaking loudly, I'm articulating carefully, and I still don't feel like I'm getting my message across, then my other step two would be practice. If you know what words come up often, if you know what phrases people have questioned in the past and said, would you repeat that? Or, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Think of what phrases those were and practice them out loud. And if you also feel like, well, I'm saying so many things, maybe pare it down a bit. Make sure you get, so one is nice and loud and slow. Two is practice. But another thing could be simplify the message at the beginning, then add the detail. I'm not saying not to say all of the things that you want, but if somebody asks you a question and the answer is a yes, no, you may say no, and then comma,
yeah,
and then answer the big picture. After the big picture, then you might want to reduce to some, you know, to the detail, but try to get the big picture across first and speak in steps. Think about how you would write it when you have a period and that sentence, you have a comma, leave a pause. So try to organize your thoughts even more so than maybe a native speaker is used to doing, but it will be a great skill. And you may even communicate more powerfully than a native speaker if you take the extra time to organize your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. What about in, you know, strategic negotiations, or if you're part of the boardroom and you just feel nervous, right, when it comes to public speaking? Are there any tips and tricks you give your clients when it comes to those, you know, high-end negotiations?
Yes, a few things. One is, try it out on your own, record it on Zoom or something like, you know, if you use Teams, Zoom, Google Meet, whatever tool you use, have a conversation. Maybe put a post-it with a smiley face right by your camera. Have a conversation with that smiley face. If it's an angry boss, maybe make an angry face. have a conversation with the frowny face and record it. And you can play the role of the other person too. You can say something like, hey, you know, hey, Mr. or Ms. Angry Man, I would like a raise, and this is why. I've done this and this and this. I believe that deserves, or this type of work qualifies me for this higher position. What do you think? And then let that person respond. Try rebutting. You know, have a list of bullet points ready. So I'd say, one, try it out. Two, make a bulleted list. You can bring a bulleted list with you, not full sentences, not a script, but if you have three bullet points and those are the points that you want to express, maybe write down the points and say, I've thought about this and I want to express a concern I have, or I'd like to make a request from you, and I've made some notes on my thoughts. And come prepared. So don't come with a script where you're going to be looking down, but come with a bulleted list of points, and definitely practice that, record it and watch it back. So you can feel like when you get to that situation, you've actually done it before and you've made tweaks You've made changes based on what you've recorded. So come prepared and prep by recording, prep by making a bulleted list. And if you have a friend or a family member or someone you trust that would play that other character, do a role play so that when you get there, it's not the first time you're doing it. And one last thing I'd say is slow the pace. So if you if you feel confident, usually you speak in a way that is very grounded, slower, has more breathing in it. So if you feel, I'm getting nervous, try to give yourself, even if you kind of pace it out almost like a metronome.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously don't do that during the speech, but kind of pace yourself. Start breathing, take a few slow breaths, you know, maybe 5 of them, maybe 10 of them. Breathe in, breathe out, right? Hold it. Slow your pace down. And then before you get in there, say, okay, this is a nice calm pace. I'm going to start at this pace. And then when you get in and they say, hey, thanks for making an appointment. What's on your mind? Thanks for having me. Today, I wanted to talk about this, right? Yeah. Start yourself nice and slow. Bring your points. And the beginning sets the tone for the whole rest of it.
Yeah.
So starting slow and steady is very important. So those will be my tips.
This is great. Thank you. Wow. Like, so such interesting points. I'm very curious about, right, some people just have stronger voices, right? Some people just communicate better, communicate more clearly, and it could be for a variety of different reasons. And what I'm very curious to hear is your opinion as when you put, let's say, 10 successful players on the team, right? And some people just have a heavier voice and they feel like they have a bigger say because of their experience or career stats or whatever it is. How can someone navigate that challenging space where maybe due to age, or maybe if you go to corporate America and you in your first few years of your job, inevitably you're going to feel smaller, right? You're not going to feel like you can share, you can have a voice at the table. And I want to be intentional about connecting it to corporate America and to sports. How can someone overcome that from an individual standpoint? And also, how can leaders, trainers, or leadership in those corporate companies help build that, you know, just like backbone for people to be able to have that voice that they're trying to build early on in their careers?
This is a very interesting question. So what I'd like to think about in approaching this question is your role at a company is there for a reason, right? You have a function and you have a contribution to make. So if you're a lower level position in the corporate tree, I guess in the hierarchy, no, you're not competing with the CEO. You're not at the same level of decision-making, but you are meant to contribute, or you're supposed to contribute as best you can in your role. So if you think, okay, well, they've hired me for my skill and talents and experience, and I'm contributing the best I can in my role. So my role, maybe you're in sales, or maybe you're in client services. Your role is important to the company, or they wouldn't be paying for it, right? And they wouldn't be paying your salary or benefits or your professional development. So the first thing I'd say is know that you're there for a reason. They pay you because your role is necessary. Otherwise, they likely wouldn't. So if you show that you are optimizing your talents, you're optimizing your skill, you're optimizing whatever strategy you can implement in your role, and you're sharing that up the ladder, this could be very useful for the company. So if you're thinking of like, how can I add value within the confines of my role, then you can approach the meetings by saying, well, as a member of the sales team, or as, you know, an active, contributor to client services, here's what I found. And here are initiatives that I'd like to propose. So you don't need to use language that's forceful. You just need to use language that's energetic and clear. And you also don't want to, I'm not saying that you should overstep your boundaries. I have a friend that had a tendency to get so self-important that he might walk into the CEO's office and tell him a new idea he had to change the company when he was a new, say, admin assistant. And there's nothing wrong with an admin assistant sharing with the CEO, but the timing and the approach needs to be more careful, right? So if you say, yeah, hey, is this a town hall where everybody's participating, or is it has everyone been asked for their ideas, or am I just waltzing into someone's office saying, you know what you should do? You should do this. It's like, wait, where did that come from? So as long as the environment is meant for people to share and you're sharing ideas that show that you would be good in your role and maybe even in the role that comes next after it, that you're showing initiative and that you're adding value, as long as you are being clear and being intentional and thoughtful, these ideas should roll out well or be received well at a meeting. And if you're unsure, the best thing to do is talk to your manager or supervisor and say, hey, I wanted to share at the meeting more than I have. These are the ideas that I'd like to share, or these are the things I'd like to propose. Do you think that that would be appropriate at this next meeting? So use the structure, use your manager, use your supervisor, or even ask if you said, well, this meeting is with the CEO, maybe email in advance and say, I have several ideas on this topic I'd like to share at the meeting. Would that be appropriate?
Yeah.
Ask. So preparation, asking the people above you, asking for permission, but then when you get that microphone, or you get that that space, share clearly, share with confidence, and be very organized in your share. Mm-hmm. And then you may be asked to speak more. And the success should build confidence, should snowball in a good way.
Thank you. Yeah, no, this is super helpful. I want to tie back to college athletics, because I think what's really, really important that not many people think about is, you know, we have those college kids playing sports for their whole lives, right? And a portion of them will go to professional sports, right? And it's a very, very big jump between being in a college setting and then being drafted to NBA, NFL, whatever it might be. So that's like the first half of the deal. But then we have the majority of college students that do not end up going pro, but they have accumulated a certain skill set throughout their professional sports, but might not necessarily have had that like internship practice or interview practice, etc. And now they're faced with that corporate America fear, and interviewing is a skill, right? You have to build it. You have to just practice and practice and practice, as we mentioned earlier. Considering that the same pool of people can be put in such different environments, pro leagues versus corporate America, after experiencing a similar journey, what would you recommend for those two subgroups, you know, that emerge from the same pool of 18, 19, 20 year olds that just came to college to play their sport?
So, well, I just want to make sure I understood the question. So one of these pools of people are folks from sports that are now going to interview in corporate America, right?
Yes, that's the first one. And the second one is people from college sports that have been college stars and are now being drafted to professional leagues. And then they start at the bottom of the food chain again. And it's very different, the dynamic, how you communicate, the coaches, it's a whole different level. And I feel like from the research that I've done, and I don't believe I've done my research on team cohesion and team trust within college football, and I feel like there is not enough work and effort being put in mentoring the students on how to act once you get out of the comfort zone, whether you go to pro leagues or corporate America.
Excellent. Okay. So let me answer the corporate part first. Mm-hmm. So when you have someone from sports, or even folks who are potentially coming from the armed forces that are then switching gears and going to the corporate world, there may be some differences between the way they're used to communicating and the way that you would communicate in the corporate world, say on an interview. So what I would do first is see when you're looking for, oh, hold on one second. Alexa, stop. Sorry. This is, since it is a fun scheduled, meeting, of course my devices want to be in on it. They're jealous. Okay. So something that I would say to do first is when you're looking for this job and job interview, can you find a job that incorporates something that you love, right? So if you're looking for, if you come from the sports world, is there a company or product that is related in some way to sports? Is it some, for example, I just saw a job posting where somebody would be selling sports related services to schools, right? So even though you're not playing the sport, is there something that you can say, hey, sports is my passion. It was my life up until this point. I'm going to find a way to incorporate sports into my career in a different way. So first, that's one way to say, hey, I'm coming in with an advantage because I'm coming from sports. And then it may give you this idea that, hey, I am bridging both worlds. I'm going into the corporate space and I'm bringing with me my passion and my experience in sports. So I would have special sauce to be, you know, say you're on a sales team or again, on a customer service team or maybe in a product development team, but something where your experiences are not only going to be useful, but they may give you a unique advantage. So that's one way to get your courage up and maybe even enjoy your job more because you're bringing your love of sports into your next phase. So one way to position yourself is position yourself as a sports expert because you're going into some sports related field. But you might say, well, that's not available to everyone. Maybe someone just needs to take a role in, I don't know, I'll talk about a field I was in, education technology. Education technology does not necessarily have sports. So what can you bring from sports to promote yourself with that background without hiding it, but using it to your advantage on an interview? Well, maybe it's the work ethic. You can say, well, as someone who played college level sports or whatever level sports they played, I learned discipline at an early age. I am punctual. I am always prepared because I'm used to the work ethic of putting in my all in all the practices so that I'm ready for the big game. You could talk about team spirit and working together, you know, with colleagues, the way that you worked on a team, if you were the leader of a team, you know, if you were able to help boost morale, if you're able to turn things around when they were going south and you needed to have a comeback, you could talk about all of these traits, all of these skills that you had where sports is parallel to the corporate world. So think about all of the things that you did in sports that are applicable. So my thought would be, again, the hard work, again, maybe punctuality, working very hard, teamwork, and again, things like turning a bad situation around. Mm-hmm. So think of the things that parallel. Another thing you can do as someone coming, you say, well, I'm not used to interviewing, all the things we talked about before, the prep, using friends, maybe watch some YouTube videos about the company you're interviewing for. How do they speak? What lingo do they use? What style of speaking do they use? Not that you have to change yours, but if there are areas that you can match and feel more comfortable, you can find some commonalities. I would note that don't hide your past, just make it relevant. How is it relevant? And that will help bridge the gap. Now to the other part of the question, how do you move from being in, say, college sports to pro sports and communication? Well, one way to parallel these conversations are listen, right? You're coming in as someone that's lower on the totem pole, right? So do a lot of listening first and ask questions, right? If you're not sure because the cultures are different, be a newbie, you know, be humble, ask questions and learn. And if you can find a mentor that can help make sure that you make the right moves, ask for mentorship, ask for, you know, what resources they have to make sure that you're making the best decisions and be transparent. You know, you can say, this is new to me. Is there a mentor I can work with to make sure that I contribute as best I can right from the get-go? So I would say being humble, being transparent, asking for help, and doing a lot of listening and ask careful questions, very intentional questions. And I have not been a pro athlete, so I don't say that I wasn't a college athlete or a pro athlete, although I work with athletes. So I can't say that I transitioned from college sports to pro sports, but I can certainly say that I've worked with plenty of people who did. And again, people who are humble and listen, and are transparent and are authentic to themselves are the ones that typically move up in any environment.
Wow, this is brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing. This is going to be so useful to our listeners and to myself also. I feel like it's easy to get caught up in doing things your own way, but actually like hearing you say some of like the tips and tricks that would be helpful for someone in pro sports or corporate America is just great.
Can I shout out one of my clients who's an athlete and tell a little bit about his story?
Of course, yeah. Absolutely.
So one of my clients is a current UFC fighter. He is currently number 12 in the featherweight division. His name is Melky the Dalmatian Costa, and wow. He is going to fight on May 16th at the Apex in Las Vegas. Melky is a fighter by nature. He battled through kind of childhood bullies. He had vitiligo or has vitiligo, the skin condition. And I actually learned from one of the recent UFC fights that he used to spend a lot of time alone in the jungle and spent a lot of time, you know, disciplining himself and learning, the arts of jujitsu and Muay Thai so that, you know, since he got into fights in school, he needed to learn strategically how to win them. And yeah. Melky is a speaker of Brazilian Portuguese, and he never learned English formally. So he and I are working together to learn English from scratch in his spare time, which is not a lot because he trains all day long and he's constantly, you know, has done a full day of training camp by the time I speak to him. But he is so inspiring. He's so motivated and he's so driven. And he wants to communicate his message. So mm-hmm. if his message is, you know, has a few grammar errors, if he's fishing for a word, if he needs to use the interpreter for a moment to ask for something, he is motivated to speak as much English as possible after his fight. So I always have on my desk a microphone. My microphones are covered in glitter. I also have a pink one because, you know, I'm girly like that. But and I've also got leopard print for a day where we need a little bit of a pattern. But I am working with Melky and we practice interviews. So sometimes I say, Melky, who do you want to fight next? And I give him the microphone live in our meetings just to say, like, it's going to happen. You're going to win again. And the mic is going to be in your face. If you don't give the sound bite, the audience tunes out. And if it goes from you to the interpreter, back to you, back to the interpreter, although I love multilingualism and appreciate it, and myself am multilingual, yeah. The audience, you know, if you're not speaking to them directly, sometimes they get bored, sometimes they check their phone, they take selfies, maybe they're, you know, booing because sometimes yeah. American audiences are ruthless and they'll boo you for any reason. So if you can, you know, with all that adrenaline, you know, after your win, get as much English in as possible. So that's what we are working on. So I am, please join me in rooting for Melky Costa at the next UFC on May 16th. He is in the main card, the title fight of Costa versus Allen. And I'm rooting for first Melky to win and second for Melky to own that mic in English.
Yeah.
So it's so
that's
cool
amazing.
To see him grow so quickly. And I work also with a retired UFC fighter named Clifford Starks, aka Big Cat. And he's already a native speaker. He's already extremely articulate. And what he's working on is world domination of his fabulous coaching. And he has something called the training room and some other things, but he's working on his keynoting. So at any level, you know, you can work on just your basic English speech. And yeah. you can also work on, hey, I'm a public speaker. I want to be paid more for my public speaking and reach billions of people in audiences in the most effective way and use PowerPoint decks and Zoom and all that kind of stuff. So at any level, you can improve. And even as a coach, coaches have coaches. And to get to, you know, the highest levels, you know, working with someone, whether it's a paid coach, a friend, a mentor, even just using recording yourself on Zoom and practicing, just, you know, yeah. I urge everyone just get out there and start speaking as much as you can, practicing and pushing yourself in speech the same way you push yourself in sports.
Well, that's so inspiring. Thank you so much for sharing. And it's amazing to see that you have clients that, you know, play and fight in such high end, you know, echelons of the sport, and they still, you know, require and they still go out there and practice something that I don't feel fully comfortable in. And I think we all should learn from it, because at the end of the day, the world is so big and we have so many different nationalities, cultures, as I said, dialects, languages, and it should never be something that people are ashamed of, like speech and language and learning more things about how you can communicate better and more freely is certainly such an important part of every single part of, you know, our lives. And thank you so much. This has been such a great conversation, and I'm so glad you gave us like the past 30 minutes. And I genuinely believe our audience will learn a lot from today's conversation.
Thank you, Anna. This was so much fun. And if we can inspire one person to be themselves out loud, and you can use speech to do it, then I will feel great. So thank you for your time,
Anna.
Thank
you so much, Melanie. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.